So good morning. I'm Mary Froiland. I'm your Synod Bishop. It's so good to be here with you again today. Today is an exciting day as Pastor John Warzala Dumke is installed as Associate Pastor here at Luther Memorial. Woo! Right? Yes. About time. Here we go. Let's go. Let's get to work. We have kingdom work to do and kingdom life to live. We are ready. Right here at Luther Memorial in Madison right now, we are ready. We are on the road and we are on the way. It's that kind of day, isn't it? So Jesus and the disciples are on their way in our gospel text today as well. In fact, they've been on their way for the last several months as we have gone through the last about 7 or 8 chapters in Luke's gospel. Reading from them, reflecting on them, that's what's been going on for several months. It all started after the Transfiguration. Do you remember the story of the Transfiguration where Jesus went with James and John up on top of the mountain and Moses and Elijah stood next to him and the voice from heaven said, "This is my son, my beloved, listen to him." Turning point in Jesus' ministry. Right after that happened, we have these words from the end of the 9th chapter of Luke. Then the days drew near for him to be taken up, and he set his face to go to Jerusalem. And Jesus has been on the road to Jerusalem ever since. And we all know what happens in Jerusalem, right? Right? What happens? The crucifixion, the cross. That's where we're going. Jesus and his disciples are on the road to the cross. And all of the teachings and the challenges and the encounters that we've been hearing about for the last few months, everything has happened on this road to Jerusalem. Everything is overshadowed by that cross. Now, at the very beginning of this journey to Jerusalem, Jesus did something that I think has relevance to a lot of what else happens along the way. So I got to take you back there just quickly. In Luke 10, we have these words. After this, after he has set his face to go to Jerusalem, after this, Jesus appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. "Go on your way," he said. "See, I'm sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals. Greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say peace to this house. Don't move about from house to house. But whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick who are there and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.'" So two things Jesus tells these 70 to do as he's starting to head to Jerusalem. Two things he says: enter a town and then heal the sick and announce the kingdom. Okay? Those are the two things Jesus is most known for too, aren't they? Healing and preaching. Healing and announcing the kingdom of God. Keep those two things in mind as we look at today's lesson. I'm going to go through it with you again because probably you weren't paying that much attention when I went through it the first time. Just saying. Luke 17, on the way to Jerusalem. You didn't notice that at first, did you, that it started on the way to Jerusalem? Now you understand a little more of that significance. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When Jesus saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up, go on your way. Your faith has made you well." Now, you've probably heard this story before. It's kind of a familiar one. Maybe you heard it at Thanksgiving, right? I think I've preached on it at a Thanksgiving service. That kind of idea about you have to have an attitude of gratitude and give thanks for all the blessings. It kind of becomes like a kind of a morality story of how we ought to live. And I'm not saying that's not part of the story. That's included here. But this time, as I was reading through the text and thinking about this sermon today, something different caught my eye. Something new kind of engaged my mind this time. So again, back to the beginning. On the way to Jerusalem, under the shadow of the cross, on the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. The region between Samaria and Galilee. Now, when you go home, pull out your Bibles and look in the back. There's maps. I want you to look. Galilee is kind of in the north. Then there's Samaria. And then in the south is Judea, where Jerusalem is. So Jesus has been in Galilee. All his ministry has taken place up to this point in Galilee. He has set his face to go to Jerusalem, which is in Judea, so he's heading south. To get there, he has to go through Samaria. Just by the way, Samaria is like enemy territory. Jews and Samaritans don't get along. In fact, they're kind of mortal enemies. We kind of get mixed up on that. We think Samaritans are really good people. That's what it's become in our society. Samaritans are the people who stop and help you when you're stuck by the side of the road, right? Not so in Jesus' time. Well, they were actually, but the one. But that's why it bears mentioning in Jesus' stories. That's why it's a surprise, because Samaritans were considered incapable of being good, incapable of giving thanks, because they just as soon spit on you as help you. That's why they're worth mentioning and why the thankfulness is kind of part of this story. But to get to Judea and Jerusalem from Galilee, Jesus has to go through Samaria. But there is no region between Samaria and Galilee, at least not on the map. Samaria and Galilee are right next to each other, button up to each other. There's a border, there's a two-dimensional line on the map, but a region? On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. It's a region that I can't find on the map. Big enough to have a village. How do you have a village on a two-dimensional line where 10 lepers approach him? It's got to be either a Samaritan village or a Galilean village, right? The lines get really blurry here. What's this region between Samaria and Galilee business? So I got kind of hung up on this. I've been to a border. Anyone been to the border between the U.S. and Mexico? I see a few hands. John and I were there last January. We went down and visited Nogales. Anyone been to Nogales? What did you see down in Nogales? I saw a wall, right? I saw a wall. Did anyone see a region? I saw this wall. It was bars, basically. You could see through. You could see through from one side to the other. You could see shops and homes and roads and cars and people and walking and talking. You could see this on either side of this wall, these bars. You could even see people up against the wall talking to each other, reaching out to each other. But it was impossible to cross. Miles and miles and miles these bars went on either side. I saw a wall, a line. No region between, no regional village. More, it was a cut-in-half kind of village. Nothing blurry about it down in Nogales. I think we're kind of obsessed these days with borders, with physical borders, as well as social and political and ideological and racial and economic and religious and you name it borders. And we're obsessed with who belongs on which side. And it seems that we are drawing clearer, narrower, sharper boundary lines, putting up more walls, dividing ourselves from the others. This is also a time where more and more people are trying to cross some of those lines. Many fleeing war or violence, many looking for hope or freedom or opportunity. Just heard about, when I was driving in today, we're talking about the refugee crisis. The worst crisis, the more people on the move than there have been since World War II. Millions of people crossing those lines. And we get scared. We want protection. We want our walls. We want our borders. All of this is going on, ironically, in a time when we have the technology to make such crossings, such connections, at least interaction possible and easy. We have Facebook and Skype and live streaming, and it doesn't matter where you are in the whole world. In so many ways, we are more connected to one another than we ever have been. And in so many ways, we are more divided than we ever have been. Calling for more separation and better defined boundary lines and higher walls. So what are we to make of this blurry border region that Jesus passes through today? Well, what does Jesus do in this in-between space? He does what he has been doing from the beginning and what he has instructed his followers to do. He cures the sick. And in so doing, he proclaims the nearness of the kingdom of God. Jesus cures the sick. These 10 people with leprosy, he cures them without checking their documents first. Are they Jews or are they Samaritans? Are they part of the in-group or are they enemies? At least one is a Samaritan, but Jesus didn't check first. Jesus healed all of them. And the ripple effect of this healing was more than physical. This healing allowed a restoration to community, to family, to life. I think about those 10 who kept their distance, because that was the law. Those 10 whom no one was allowed to touch, whom no one was allowed to be near. Who were they besides a band of lepers? They were people. People who had once had families and work and purpose. People who had once loved and been loved. People who had been forced to leave husbands and wives and children and friends and home and community. They were carpenters and educators and scholars and parents and farmers and laborers. They were human beings who were sick. And their sickness rendered them desperate. Perpetually and hopelessly on the other side, outside. Have mercy, they cried. And then Jesus steps into this blurry border region and heals them. And in healing them, he restores them to community and proclaims the wholeness of this kingdom of God, this borderless kingdom of God, declares that the kingdom of God has come near. All 10 of them got to experience this wholeness, this kingdom life. whether they were Samaritan or Jew, whether they were overtly thankful or not. On the road to Jerusalem, under the shadow of the cross, in the blurry border regions, Jesus lived out the instructions he had given to those he sent out. Cure the sick who are there and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near you. So we still have the same instructions from Jesus. Heal the sick. Announce and live the kingdom of God. And today, more than ever, maybe, we need to take that work to the blurry border regions of our world. There's too much, whether real or artificial, there's too much that divides us. And those divisions cause pain and despair and death. At this time in our world, separation and brokenness and fear are on full display. In fact, they're encouraged. They're fed. We have something to say in the face of that. We have a healing to bring and a kingdom to announce. Jesus calls us into the blurry border regions of life, and he gives us a different story to tell there. It's a story that runs counter to the prevailing stories of our time and our culture. It's a story of community rather than division. It's a story of healing rather than separation, of wholeness rather than brokenness, of trust rather than animosity, hope rather than despair, light rather than darkness, and life rather than death. It's a story of endless wonder and possibility, and love, and life. It's God's story, and it's our story to live and to share. So, Pastor John, welcome to Madison. Welcome to Luther Memorial. Are you ready? Are you ready to join in partnership with these folks as you share this ministry? Are you ready to join with them and share this ministry that will definitely take you to some border regions? All of you, are you ready to keep doing this together? All right, thank you. So let's go. Let's get to work. We have kingdom work to do and kingdom life to live. We are ready. Right here at Luther Memorial in Madison right now, we are ready. We are on the road. We are on the way together. Thanks be to God. Amen.